Okay. Shavua Tov, good vach. We're starting with a piece in Baruch Shama. In the old edition, it's page Mem Tes. In the new edition, Mem Aleph. Mem Aleph. Okay. So one of the clauses in Baruch Shama is Baruch Omer Ve'oseh. Blessed is he is the one who says and does. So says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, Shalosh Lishonotin. There are three terms. Three Lishonot, Amira, Dibur Vasya. Saying, speaking, and doing. Okay. Obviously, in this clause of Baruch Shama, we only see two of them. But he's saying, in general, there are three Lishonot, which is saying, speaking, and doing. Yitzirat Olam Haita Ba'amira. The creation or the formation, creation of the world was with saying, with the expression of saying, Hashem said, Ba'asara Ma'amarot Nivra Ha'olam. With 10 sayings, the world was created, like the Mishnah Nova says. Right? Every time it says, Vayomer, Vayomer. Uvechulan lo ne'emar v'yedaber el v'yomer. In none of those 10 ma'amarot does it say the word he spoke. It says the word he said. B'matan Torah etchilu adibrot. At Matan Torah, that's when the dibrot began. So it's very interesting, right? We have asara ma'amarot and we have aseret hadibrot. Amira is in this. It's like such a pasha thing, which I think probably most people never paid attention to. Right? It's like very pashada diuk or observation. So the dibrot, the speakings, they began with Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. Shne'emar ba'en, that it says by them, Vayidaber Elokim es kol advarim ha'ele le'mor. God spoke all the following things, saying. So the Yedaber goes on all the things and all those dibrot. So it's called Aseret HaDibrot, the 10 statements, the 10 speakings of God. Uchimo shamru, b'geulat Mitzrayim hata geulat hadibur. And he brings an additional strengthening to this idea that the Zohar says that by the redemption of Mitzrayim, particularly, yeah, it ends at Har Sinai where it says, "Va'elokim va'yidaber." No, what's the lashon? Va'elokim yanenu b'kol. Moshe diber, Moshe diber, va'elokim yanenu b'kol. Moshe spoke, and God. So that's where it reaches its height. But the Zohar says that the geula of Mitzrayim was the geula of dibur, was the redemption of speech. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is really indicating that from the beginning of time, the power of God's speech from the very moment that he begins creation is in a sort of exile. It's not applied until Matan Torah. And until Matan Torah, all there is in the world is the Asara Ma'amaros, the 10 sayings which gave birth to the world, which gave existence to the world. Bi'ur HaDvarim. The explanation is as follows. Sha'ad yitziat Mitzrayim lo hayta lo haya nikar shiltono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu bebriah. Up to Yitzias Mitzrayim, the control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creation was not noticeable. It wasn't recognizable. Afim nitgala shebema'amaro bara shechakim uvrach piv kol tzva'am. Even if it was revealed that it's with his saying that he created the heavens and with the breath of his mouth, with the wind of his mouth, literally, right? All their hosts, so which is the lashon of the brach and birkat levana that we say. So yes, that was revealed that with his saying he created the world. Lo nitgala dain koach dvarato, or koach dibrato. The koach of his speech was not yet revealed. Milashon daber dabar echad lado, from the lashon of dabar. Dabar is a leader. Is a person in control. Okay? So the Lashon of Dibur, as opposed to Amira, Amira is stam, the usage of the mouth to express something. But Dibur is a, like Rashi says, right? Lashon kasheh. It's a harsh Lashon because it's a Lashon of control. you listen to me. It's a lesson of control. Dabar echad lador, one leader to the generation. Kach omnam betchilat ha'yitzira shaita begilui b'chinat imrato. So it was that although at the beginning of the creation, there was revealed, the beginning of the creation was with a revelation of the aspect of Hashem's saying, right, his amira, shinta ha'aretz v'lo hotzia etz pri. But the, I know there's a typo, it says shincha, and they didn't fix it in the new one either. That's a typo. It should be shinta ha'aretz. The land changed from God's saying, v'lo hotzia etz pri, and didn't bring out the fruit tree in the way that he was supposed to, meaning in the way that the etz and the pri would be with equal taste. The land changed from that and made that there would be a separate taste between the wood of the tree and the fruit. Oh, he says it here. Shetama etz ketama pri, right? It was supposed to be that the taste of the wood would be like the taste of the fruit, like the Medrash and Bereishis Rabba says. So you see that even despite the fact that Hashem said something, he told the earth what to do, how to behave, how to carry out its task, the earth didn't feel so obliged, didn't feel so in need of that, and therefore the land changed. Because it still not had yet come time to reveal his control, his shiltona muchlat, his absolute control. And as if permission was granted to the creation to change.
So now we do have a change. Libru'im.
Huh?
They fixed it in this one.
Oh, they fixed it. Okay, but that yeah, but it's okay, Libaru, because you could say it. It's not that was a mistake. So they changed a thing that's not a mistake, but they didn't change a thing that was a mistake. Okay. Kach haya ha'olam shamem. So was the world desolate, right? Meaning that's a desolate state, relatively speaking, that God kiviyachol is not in control of the world. He doesn't really have control of the world, right? He just created the world. So that remained the desolate state of the world. Ad sheba etan ezrachi, Avram Avinu, until Avram Avinu comes on the scene. V'tchil le'akir sheyesh le'olam manhig, right? That's Lashon HaChazal. He begins to realize that there's a leader to the world. There's someone running the show. Hu shebara et ha'olam b'ma'amaro. He is the one who created the world with his saying. V'hu gam hadabar ha'yachid v'amyuchad shel ha'olam. And he's also the single, lone and unique leader of the world. But this recognition didn't become fully manifest until the time where they left Mitzrayim, which was the time when the Dibur was revealed, the speech of God became revealed. Whose perfection was and wholeness was revealed only by the giving of the Torah. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Hashem went down to Har Sinai. Vayedaber Elokim. Ah, I brought the pasuk of Moshe Dibel because in other places he talks about the Geulat HaDibur. Very interesting. Other places, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe talks about the Geulat HaDibur as being the Jewish people's redemption of speech. Here it's something much deeper, he's saying. It's unbelievable. It's really powerful. That God's speech, it wasn't just Klal Yisrael's speech was in exile. God's speech was in exile. That's fascinating. And therefore, he has to bring the pasuk, Vayedaber Elokim, God spoke. Ulam gavoa me'al gavoa higilui b'chinat asiya. However, so we've discussed Amira, and we've discussed Dibur, saying in speech. But there's something way higher than that all. And that's the revelation of the aspect of doing. Bechinata Asiya. Shelo rak ba'amirato uvediburo. Then not just with Hashem saying and his speech, shezu bechinata roa yotze lechutz mipnimiyuto, which these are aspects of an aspect of his light that leaves and goes outward from his pnimiyut. When there's speech, the speech leaves the person. It's a sound, it's a wind, it's together with a sound, right? That leaves the inside of the person and goes out of the person, right? So not just with that Amira and that Dibur, which Kiveyachal are as if they're outside of God, because they leave Kiveyachal God, not only Bilvat, not only through his Amira and his Dibur Nitcholela HaHabaya, did the existence come into being? Elegam Kiveyachal, but also Kiveyachal, as if Bepnimiyutohu Po'el Voseota. With his actual pnimius, he's actually affecting it and doing it, making it. And he, with his self, is attached to it. In other words, and this is very paradoxical. The whole piece over here is a very paradoxical piece, and I'll express why in a moment. But first, let's just understand the words, what he said. If you speak and affect something through your speech, so it's like a, it's like almost like a grumma in a certain sense. Okay, let's say you that God's words, he put those words out as they left him. So now something comes into being. So it's like he caused this thing to become into being with his words. But if we look at the world that Hashem made it, the making of something is hands on. He's doing it himself. It's a direct act. It's not just like something that's an external doing of his. It's something which is a hands-on, personal, yoter pnimi, a more inner type of involvement with the creation and the running of the world. Let's just first go to the end, and then I'll speak about this. Kashem shebri'at tluya b'mamaro. The same way the creation is dependent on the saying of God, Le'olam Hashem dvorcha nitzav b'shamayim, forever Hashem, your words are standing in the Shemayim. And the Sfarim explained that the Balatanya is a famous, he starts off as like, was it the Shara Yichud, I think, he starts off with this pasuk, Le'olam Hashem dvorcha, that it's the osius of the olive base that he, those permutations that we find in Maaseh Bereishis, that they are standing in the Shemayim. And if you didn't have the Shin Mem Yud Mem constantly there, there would be no Shemayim. And if you didn't have the Aleph Reish Tzadi, there wouldn't be a land, there wouldn't be the world. So the same way the Bria is totally on the Maimer of Hashem, the Imaya Posek Milomar Viladaber Shuv, Lohe Akium Lavaya. And if he would stop from saying and from speaking, then they would no longer be in existence. So too, when the time will come and the bechina, the aspect of doing, is going to become revealed, right? How Hashem himself is doing the world, is not just speaking to have the world in existence, but is actually hands-on making the world in a certain sense. When that is going to be, it's going to be seen that this pu'ula, this action of God, is nonstop. Then the whole havaya, the whole existence, all the worlds are going to have an elevation to cleaving and to clinging to the infinite one, because that, when the bria, when the worlds come to that recognition that Hashem is so personally, he's not just in control of things in the way of he's saying something and everybody's doing what he's saying, right? He's speaking and control. No, not just that. He's actually kiveyachol, physically involved. He's actually himself involved. That is a tremendous dveikos, because then we realize that the life is complete. It's not just that Hashem, it's not, if it wasn't for Hashem, I wouldn't be alive. No, it's Hashem is giving you your life every single second. It's a constant giving. He's constantly doing it in this most hands-on fashion. It's a very high level of involvement, the level of Asiya. So why I said this whole piece is paradoxical is because normally I'll pick Kabbalah, and not just I'll pick Kabbalah, even if we were to talk about things in a very mundane way through the parable of human experience, right? There's a famous statement, right? There are thinkers and there are doers, or there, you know, and there are speakers and there are doers, and they do not often come together. They're almost a stira. They're almost a stira, right? So you have, which one is considered the higher madrega? The higher madrega would be the thinker, would be the one that gives out the commands, right? The head guy, the CEO, tells everybody what to do, and then everyone has to execute it, right? And the, let's say, the guys building the house, right? They're the laborers. They're the blue collar, right? The speakers, the sayers, they're the white collars. These are the blue collar. Which one do you put higher? Even Kabbalistically speaking, Amira and Dibur relate to the head, right? And Asiya relates to the body, which is higher. So paradoxically, right? But Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is doing something and pointing out why. He's saying that, wait a minute, let's analyze which thing is more, shows a bigger involvement, right? If you sit down and learn with your kid, are you more involved? Is that a closer relationship? Or when you pay the tutor to learn with your kid? So it's your mouth, you're speaking, you're doing the shlichus, you're in control, you're the one sending it out, right? But if you're sitting, the one actually doing, if you're actually doing it, that shows more of a closeness, that shows more of a chibur pini, an inner full involvement than the asiya. So paradox, than the amira and the dibur. So paradoxically speaking, on the one hand, amira v'dibur l'chora is a higher aspect. On the other hand, the asiya is a higher aspect. And the truth of the matter is that I can't get into the forum of this shir. It's just not shayach to get into it. It's a whole sugya. But this stira appears in Arizal, because the Arizal speaks that the parts of system, which we've spoken about on different occasions, right? The spheres, the 10 spheres together form a system called parts of. And the parts of divides into a basic division of head and body. I'm making this very simple. Rosh and Guf, head and body. The head spheres being the Chabad and the Chagat Naim that we deal with in Sfiras HaOmer, right? The 7 lower spheres which relate to the body, relate to physicality. That's the body of the system, right? Which one is higher? The head or the body? So the Arizal actually gave Rab Chaim Vital contradicting statements regarding this. And Rab Chaim Vital, I'm not sure actually over there if it's Rab Chaim Vital or the Arizal himself who says this, but the question over there appears in Eitz Chaim, asking explicit in Eitz Chaim. It says, like, wait, which is it? And the base, let's see if I can give over the basic answer. The basic answer is like this, and I'm going to explain it a little bit. God gives us life. When we are born into the world, yeah, we have a head, but it's not really a head. Katan ein bo das. A minor doesn't have a mind, really. It doesn't have a thinking. There's no real knowledge there, right? Okay, there's a head there, and it begins to learn, and right? But there's not an effect that's not a real roish. So the person is born as a guf, and the process of becoming more mature and growth is that the head is supposed to develop. So that's the job of the parent, is to educate the child, right? And bring them knowledge and bring them to a mode of thinking, appropriate thinking, in a way of analyzing, etc. Fine. So which would you say is the bigger miracle? Is the miracle of life greater? The miracle of a baby being born is greater? Or is the miracle of educating your child and bringing the head to this baby, is it a greater miracle? Well, one of the three keys that weren't given over to angels was the key of life, right? That's what the Gemara says. No human being can bring a new life into the world. Impossible. No, any being, right? That remains in God's hands. So the bringing that body without head is actually a very, so that means the body in a certain sense is actually higher. It's coming from a higher place than the head, because the head is coming from human beings that are helping out. You know, okay, there's a certain amount of raw material maybe in the head, that's true, right? But that's like, it's in the body, it's exactly, that's the body of the head, and you have to do something with it. So the Arizal's answer is like this. If you take them separately, certainly the body is greater, because the body comes from a higher place. And the head is just, you're able to add the head onto what's already existing. I always bring as a mashal, you might have heard this from me in the past, you know, there are those who like to bash or poke fun, that's chasrel, not poke fun, but there are those who speak like negatively about the Ramban that's put out by Moshe Rav Kook from Rav Shavel. I just use this as an example, okay? It could be about a lot of different svarim, but that the Ramban is a very hard perush to understand, the Ramban on the Torah. Rav Shavel came and finally gave people the ability to learn it with his horse. And then after him, years later, there were a number of other people that came and put, you know, different mafarshim, whatever, maybe did nicer things, you know. You pointed like, oh, listen, his work is, okay, yeah, it's okay, but it's not like the others. But the others couldn't write that work if it wasn't for the fact that Rav Shavel came first and cleaned it up. So to do that initial work is much more difficult. I another example I bring is the Chassam Sofer's Haskama on Tzara Labinyan. The Sefer Tzara Labinyan is a Sefer answering the kashas of the Marsha on the Marshal. You know this? You've heard this from me yet? Right? The Marsha asks various kashas in different places, not only the Marsha, others also on the Marshal. And the Tzara Labinyan comes to answer the kashas, to answer up the Marshal. So Chassam Sofer gave a haskama. It's a short haskama, but it says a lot. And he says over there, if you pay attention, we have the Marsha. There's two types of Marsha that we have in Shas. There's the Marsha that we're used to knowing about, right? In the most Masechtas that are learned in yeshivas, etc. But on Kachim, we have a Marsha, but it's like a different Marsha. The Marsha in Kachim and some other, yeah, does very, very basic work of cleaning up the nusfaot, of cleaning up the nusach, the language of the Gemara, Rashi, Tais, whatever it is. Says the Chassam Sofer, you know why? It was to show you. Min HaShemayim, they did that to show you. That the Marsha couldn't write the Marsha, the big questions and answers, the amazing, amazing work of the Marsha that we normally learn. He couldn't have done that had the Marshal not come first and cleaned up all those Masechtas. It's only because the Marshal worked on those Masechtas and cleaned up the Nuscha'ot and did the first base job that the Marshal was able now to add to it. And therefore, on the Masechtas that the Marshal didn't do his work, which is in Kachim, there the Marshal had to do the work of the Marshal, and he didn't get to the second level of work, because he says it's not within human capacity to do it all. That's what the Chassam Sofer writes there. So anyway, so which is the greater work? If you take each of them individually, yeah, the Marshal's work is more difficult. You run through something, break it open to make something in there, right? To give a life to something, that's the hardest thing. To add to it is much easier, because the tashtit is there, the basis is there. To add to it is much is okay. But if you take them together, says Arizal, if you take them together, you take the first and the second, the body and the head. Of course, the head is the higher level. That's his answer. It's unbelievable. So the answer is that yes, if there's this aspect that Amira and Dibur, if you're taking the system together, the Amira and Dibur are a higher madrega. But you know, at the end of the day, there's something very endearing, something very pneumistic about the lower level, because the lower level actually comes from the deeper place. The same way that we said that the body comes straight from God, as opposed to from the highest level of God, Kabbalistically speaking, as opposed to the head, which comes from a lower level of God, Kabbalistically. That's the way Kabbalah discusses it. So too over here, the Asiya, God's full involvement on such a low level, is coming from the highest place possible, from his pnimius, as opposed to Amira Vasiya, which are like more external in that sense. And therefore, they leave the body, kibayachal, and they remain in the Shemayim, Dvarcha, Leilam Hashem, Dvarcha Nitzav Hashemayim. It's a fascinating, fascinating piece. Any Ha'aris questions? Anyone awake?
When is this
Gilui
Asiya going to happen?
So I didn't express that enough. Yeah. So he's saying it's clear what he means. Kishiyagi Azman, right? When the time is going to come, that's Lasad Lavan. So yes, I should point that out. Thank you for being made of that. There's three stages of creation of history of the world and the future, right? Of world history. There's the stage of the creation, which was the stage of Amira, of Asara Mamoris, of saying. Then we move to the stage of Har Sinai, Matan Torah, which is Dibur. And then we move, Lasad Lavay, by the Geula, the final redemption. We're going to move into the level of Asiya, of God doing, of Baruch Oise, that we're going to see Hashem, how he's so fully, you know, Kiviyochel gets his hands dirty, right? That's like the biggest show of love and involvement is the Asiya. So that's actually, again, you see the same paradoxical thing going on. If you take the world, right, the world moves in stages from lowest to highest. The baby born is the creation of the world. Then it gets the pnimius. It gets the head. It's a thinking boy. That's Har Sinai, like, you know, Bocher, Bar Mitzvah. But then there's the marriage, there's the shleimus, that's the lasid lavoi, the gula shleima, where there's going to be a dveikus, like he says, with the ein self at the highest level. We become one with God. Right? That's the movement of the world. So on the one hand, Amira is higher, again, is the highest, and Dibur is after that, and Asiya is lowest. On the other hand, no, it's just the opposite. The more you get your hands involved in something, the more you actually do it, you get your hands dirty, kibayachal, the more of an expression of love that is. You know, you change your baby's diapers, but for the next guy, you'll pay somebody else to do it. You know, that's the and we're gonna see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so tightly involved. Just mamish. That's Baruch Omer Va'Oise. It's the two extremities of it.
Is it clear that he means here Asiya as in Olam HaAsiya?
No, he doesn't necessarily mean it as in Olam HaAsiya, but it takes the same context.
He brings zero sources for his concept of Asiya. He has a little bit on Dibur and Amira.
Yeah. He doesn't Right. He doesn't back up like let's say Psukim from the future being where you see the Asiya aspect of it and the Hanami. We have to do that for him. But on the other hand, you should know that Rav Zussman Tzatzal, Rav Yosef Lev Zussman, was one of the Orchim of the Sefer, one of the editors and one of the people that organized the material, etc. And he said that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe told him, if you're not familiar with Rabbi Yosef Lev Zussman Zatzal, he was a very, very big mekubal in Yerushalayim. I was zeicha to be by him a number of times. He was very famous at the Kosel, if anybody was there at midnight, you would hear him crying away Tinchat Tzoyis and Sfiras HaOmer. He had a Sfiras HaOmer, which was just like, I have a recording if anyone wants. It was powerful beyond belief. I mean, he obviously was Mechavan Kavanas, and he just was like, it was a very emotional, and it took a long time. It was very powerful, Sfiras HaOmer. So Rav Zussman said that, by the way, Rav Zussman is the one that brought Rav Shmuel Auerbach into Kabbalah. He's the one that, and another interesting thing, I was by Rav Zussman's Levaya, and Rav Fischel Eisenbach, who was the Rosh Shiva of Shaar Shemayim, okay, he was Maspid Rav Yosef Lev Zussman. And he said the following in the Hesped. I almost never remember any Hesped. Like, I try to record the ones that I want to, you know, like, because I know I won't remember easily. But this just was like, just earth shattering. You know, like, I was like, wow. And he said that there were 12 Sifrei Torah written in Klal Yisrael. Every Shevet had a Sefer Torah. They had to write a Sefer Torah. But there was a 13th one written, which was kind of like, you know, written on behalf of all the Shvatim, that was kept in the Kodesh Kadashim, where nobody could touch it. He said, what was the purpose of that 13th Sefer Torah? The purpose of that 13th Sefer Torah, he said, was to be a mochiach. That if any Shevet will come and change one letter of the Torah, they'll take the Sefer Torah from the safe, when no one was able to touch it. That's the authentic one. That's going to the proof of what the true Masorah of the Torah is. That's the 13th Sefer Torah, said Rav Fischel Eisenbach. That was Rav Yosef Lev Zussman to the Olam HaKabbalah. He was the Mochiach of the authentic Masorah in Kabbalah. And of course, that he got from Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlath. That's what Rav Fischel Eisenbach said. That's amazing. Anyway, so what Rav Zussman said, Rav Zussman said that Rav Yaakov Moshe told him that for every single thing I write, I have Makaris, even though I don't necessarily, I don't reveal them, but I don't write anything without a Makar. That's what he said.
I see, is it possible to parallel here between Ramchal and this? Ramchal speaks a lot about the idea.
One second. Oh, I just realized something. My volume is very low. Did I miss anybody giving ha'aris or asking a question? I probably didn't hear anybody. What were you asking?
Saying the Ramchal, I don't remember where I saw this in the Ramchal, but Ramchal speaks about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the initial stage of running the world, there was chaos. We couldn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu directing the show at all. And then from Yetzias Mitzrayim and onwards, there was an interaction between Klal Yisrael's Madriga Ruchnis and our efforts and Hashem's reciprocation, so to speak, which was through the Ma'arechus of the Sefirus.
Mm-hmm.
The Ramchal says ultimately, within all that, the soul of all that is the Yichud of Hashem. Because even the interaction of the Sefirus is a closed system which detracts from the total Yichud Hashem of his Bechira Choshes.
In a certain sense, right?
And therefore, ultimately, the Giloy, which is the greatest Yichud, is a Giloy which is perhaps greater than the Ma'arechus of the Sefirus itself. It's the Giloy of perhaps Asiya, which is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just running this all with the simultaneous and Hagas Yichud.
I hear the tap-in. I don't think that's the basic level of what the Ramchal is saying. I don't think it's, you know, but what you just quoted from the Ramchal is a basic in Torah Arizal. And yes, that's, I think that ultimately it's, you know, somebody just asked me tonight at Maariv that he learned Nefesh HaChaim, and there it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad is that even though we said before Hashem Elokeinu, which is like Hashem is God over different things, which is the Malchus level, which is like there's a creation, but God runs the creation. Hashem Echad is even the higher level, even though he has that level where he's running everything, but he's really deep down, he's as if without a world. He's beyond the world. As far as God's perspective, there is no world. Right? That's the famous Mitzido Mitzideinu, his perspective, our perspective, that the Nefesh HaChaim goes to length on. So he says after that, the Nefesh Chaim says, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Eilayim Vod is again the Malchus aspect, God's glory. There's a world, there's a kingship, he's running the show. So again, that we have to say quietly, says the Gemara, because it's embarrassing. After you say a high level of Hashem Echad, now you're going to say, it's like, he runs the business. Now you're going to say, oh, yeah, by the way, he also puts tissues like on the table. Like, you know, like, come on. This is embarrassing to bring him down and give him a lower praise. So he asked me, if that's the case, why in Yom Kippur do we say Baruch Shem out loud? What changed? So I said, and I think this taps into what you're saying, is that I think that what changes is that on Yom Kippur, that lower level of Malchus, that there's a creation and God runs that creation, right? The gradation of seeing the Hashem Echad as such a high level and the Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus as a low level, that there's a creation, seeing the creation in a way that it presents a mechitza before God's oneness, that is a low level that we exist in now. But on Yom Kippur, which is an aspect of the Gilui Lasad Lavay, the pshat is that the Yudke and the Vavke are going to become Yudke Yudke, where the Vavke, which is that expression of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Eilayim Vod, it's a lower level. No, it's going to become a full level Yudke, because that's no longer going to present a separation from God's oneness. Where we see fragmentation in the idea that there's a world, and we see like tzimtzum because there's a world and it's hiding God. No. At that point on Yom Kippur, we get that tremendous level where it's no longer a second lower level recognition. No, that lower level raises itself, becomes elevated to the high level of Hashem Echad. And the Hashem Echad and the Baruch Shem become equal. They become just pure oneness. And that's, I think, the level of what you're talking about. Asiya, it's when the Asiya, by the way, in Kabbalah it says, the lowest sphere, which is Malchus, which is usually Asiya, doing, is Malchus, kingship. It's the right. It's unbelievable what the Arizal says. It really taps into what we're saying now. The Malchus is going to go and become the Keter of the entire. It's going to go up on top of the entire system, become the highest thing. It's exactly what we're saying. So when you get down to the nitty gritty, where everything you'll see Hashem's involvement in the lowest, that's the highest Gila. That's where God's oneness becomes full circle, where God's oneness is complete without any separation whatsoever. There's nothing separating. The creation doesn't separate at all God. It's Adarabba. It's screaming God at the highest level. Baruch Oyim Vayisa. Okay. We'll stop here. Okay.
Shavua Tov
to everyone. Good to see you guys. Okay. And we should have Besurot Tovot.
Amen.
Okay.